Welcome, warriors. Today on the podcast, I welcome Cheryl Esch. She shares with us about what can happen when we bottle up our trauma and keep it a secret, both the bad of bottling and the relief of releasing. Grab a tissue and get ready to hear about surviving one type of trauma through the help of a beloved person, only to face another trauma involving that person shortly thereafter. Plus, Cheryl's unique way of surviving now. Let's rock.
Does your past haunt you? Maybe you're in a storm that feels like it will never end. Are you fighting a battle that's rendering you hopeless? Maybe you feel like you're fighting alone, but your battle was not meant to be a solo endeavor. You were meant to be a warrior among warriors. My name is Heather, and I grew up thinking my battles were nobody's business until I found myself in an abusive marriage and felt cut off from all avenues of help. In this podcast, you will hear warriors' words. They will tell you of their battles, both won and lost, their journeys, and their lessons learned along the way. But we don't stop there. These warriors will share how they have applied those lessons to go from warrior to survivor to thriver. Whether it's an abusive marriage, illness, mental health crisis, or any number of traumas this world dishes out, these warriors will use their words to help you find the beauty in your broken, move beyond your battles, and become the thriver God created you to be. Pick up your sword or boxing gloves and join the battle. Your words are powerful, my friends. Make them warrior words.
Welcome back to the Warrior Words Podcast. Today, we are discussing the impact of bottling up trauma, anger, and forgiveness. Cheryl's experiences and how she dealt or didn't deal with them led to some very powerful and sweet moments in her life. So who is Cheryl? As the creator of Solo Travel Adventures podcast, Cheryl Esch wants to empower women over 50 to travel solo with confidence. Cheryl's love and passion have always included going on adventures, traveling, and being a nomadic gypsy at heart. She has traveled to 19 countries, nearly every state in the U.S., and 22 of our U.S. national parks. Since entering midlife, becoming an empty nester, and being single, she has been pursuing this travel lifestyle with a new fervor and desires to share it with other women who are ready to explore, experience new cultures, travel light and safely, and utilize travel to heal and grow personally. Reading this reminds me of a summer where I did a lot of solo travel. Well, it was kind of scary and slightly intimidating. It was also fun and it was exhilarating, and I learned a lot. But before we dig into our conversation with Cheryl, I want to share an encouraging review from J. Riggs73. She writes, empowering. Heather is very engaging with an important story to share. If you need encouragement and empowerment to help you heal situations in your life, be sure to follow this podcast. Wow. I truly appreciate your observation that this podcast is both encouraging and empowering, because that was part of my goal. Would you like me to read your review on an upcoming episode? Please go to Apple Podcasts and leave a review for the show. Your comments and your star ratings help people find the Warrior Words podcast, and it only takes a few minutes of your time, and it would help us so much. Thank you. And if you have not already to subscribe, let me try that again. If you have not already subscribed to my email list, please go to subscribepage.io/pearls of wisdom. And that link will be in the show notes for you. Now, on to the show. Okay, everybody. Thank you for joining us. As you heard in our intro, I am thrilled to have Cheryl Esch with us today. Welcome to Warrior Words, Cheryl.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
And I appreciate you giving us your time today. So you mentioned to me that there were a couple of very traumatic incidents in kind of in your young life, in, you know, when you were a young adult, and they were both very different types of events. So I want to ask a two-part question to help get us started. Can you talk a little bit about each of those situations? And then Do you feel the way you reacted to the first one impacted how you handled the second one? Because they're very different.
Oh gosh, that's a great question. Okay, so just a little background. As Heather said, I've been through lots of traumas, but these two that she's mentioning are kind of in my early life. So the first one, when I was in college, I was only 18 and I was raped. And actually the following year, I was date raped almost to the day, a year later. And those events that happened, I actually bottled them up. I didn't tell anybody that they had happened. And it was many years later, actually, I was about probably 23. I'd already graduated college. And I literally had a meltdown. Like, I just had probably close to a nervous breakdown. And I just remember it was the wee hours of the morning, calling my mother on the phone and just literally like breaking down and like literally collapsing in the kitchen, on the kitchen floor, because, you know, I finally had told somebody what had happened. Right. So, you know, it was just like, just all that bottled up, just released, you know? So it was pretty hard, but my mother helped guide me through that whole process of like, you know, trying to, you know, get counseling and, you know, go through all that process. And to answer your question, it was probably, you know, once I felt I was like, you know, I went through all that counseling and felt pretty healed from those. Mm-hmm. It was probably about a year later, we found out my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer. So hearing that news and, you know, getting hit again with just like this other trauma, because my mother is actually, she's my best friend. She was like my accountability partner. She was my creative juices because we both were pretty creative, and she was just my best friend. And so, you know, to hear that she was getting ready to, you know, she had breast cancer, and she had a very aggressive kind because she had that gene that sort of accelerates the cancer. Mm-hmm. And so she fought it. She fought it pretty hard for about 2 years. But those 2 years were pretty rough on me. I thought I was grieving, you know, because towards the end, I kind of knew that she wasn't going to make it, even though you pray and you're like, right, you're really praying for healing, and, you know, it didn't come. And so how I dealt with that probably wasn't the greatest because, you know, there I was losing a part of me when she died. So that was really hard for me. And, you know, I think I got angry at God, actually, after that. And so I went through having to, you know, work through that as well over the years to, you know, come to terms with, because for me, it's, I needed to understand why. You know, I didn't know when I was supposed to ask God why, but I just felt like I needed to understand why he took her so early. I was about 28 when she passed away, and I was not married or anything. So she hadn't seen that whole part of my life yet, you know, so that was the other devastating part, you know. And since then, I've, you know, been married, have two kids, all that stuff. So it was hard to know that she would miss all that in my life as well. So I hope that answered your question.
Oh, no, of course it did. And I think at least what I'm hearing, and maybe it's just my own feeling, but when you have somebody who's so close to you, who helped you mm-hmm. deal and heal with yeah. that first trauma to, you know, to lose her so soon after that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was tough. I mean, like I said, I had a lot of my life ahead of me. I've already, mm-hmm. at this point, I have lived half my life without her, which is, you know, you're kind of just about.
Wow. So yeah, when you do that math, yeah, you think about it.
Just about, almost.
oh, wow.
Yeah. So there was a lot of processing. And then I thought, you know, those 2 years that she was fighting it, you know, I thought I was processing and grieving it. And we had our moments, which we had some sweet moments, and, you know, but, you know, after, I think what I had to deal with after she died was my anger towards God, actually. And so I had to really work through that. And, you know, understanding now, you know, of course, even seeing new traumas come in my life, you know, that we may never see the why. You know, we might have to even wait till heaven. Sometimes God does give us that, you know, perspective to see many years later why it happened. And actually, there is one why of why my mom passed. At least what my mom was very close to her father, my grandfather. He was Italian descent, and I just loved him. I was very close to him too. And he ended up passing away 2 years after my mom died, almost to the day. But he was not a believer. And so during my mother's memorial service, he came to Christ. And so I was like, okay, you know, all right, now I understand why. Okay, you know, but was there another reason? Like, I mean, I am grateful. And, you know, just as, you know, we say the shepherd will leave the flock to, you know, go find that one lost person,
right,
you know,
right.
I feel like, you know, okay, yes, her life was worth that, because I mean, God knew my grandfather, even at the time of my mother's death, was struggling with heart congestion. So, you know, I think he knew it was in his 80s. He's, you know, ready to go, you know, finish off his life. But he was not a believer. So it was very encouraging, at least to hear that, okay, now I can see there was some purpose for that, you know.
Wow. That's incredible. I mean, you remind me, my grandparents did that in that my grandfather passed in October of 90. And then my grandmother went to his memorial mass, and then 2 years later, and then 2 days later, she went. So, you know, just that that timing to the day is rather interesting.
Yeah.
Well, normally I like to talk about the survivor aspect of it, but you brought up something that that piqued my attention, and that was, you said that you had some sweet moments with your mom.
Oh.
And so that goes into what I usually like to ask people about, finding beauty in the broken. You know, and so if you could talk to a little bit about some of those sweet moments that you had with your mom, because that was a very broken time, and yet you were able to find some sweetness.
Yeah. In there. So I actually was living at home. So that was the sweet part, is that I could be with her like all the time. She did go away a lot to some treatment centers and stuff. But, you know, when she was home, and then towards the end, as she, you know, I guess a few months before she passed, I actually quit my job so that I could stay home and take care of her, which was also sweet, because she loved to sing. And so I hear her sometimes, and we kept a little baby monitor, you know, like in her room in case she did. And I hear her like singing, you know, whether they were hymns or like some praise songs. And, you know, it was just kind of funny. And then two other really special moments. One was, she said she had envisioned my wedding.
Wow.
Which was kind of what she envisioned actually never happened, but it was kind of sweet, you know, like, I mean, maybe one part did. She did say she saw dancers, and I did have a couple dance at my wedding ceremony. And then we had a very sweet moment probably just a few weeks before she passed, and we were sitting on the couch together, and, you know, we both knew time was coming, and it was short. And, you know, just sitting there with her and just having that time to, you know, love on her and, you know, share how grateful I was for her, and, you know, her saying some nice things about me, you know, just because at the very end she wasn't able to speak, you know, it got harder to speak. And then I did actually write a poem for her, which I said at her memorial service, and I was actually able to share it with her probably about a week before she passed. And she was pretty bedridden at that point. But, you know, she was really happy to hear that. And she actually said, why didn't you share that sooner? Like, you know, so she could have enjoyed it more. But Yeah. So we had, you know, we were close. We were very close. I know they say as moms, you shouldn't have your favorites, but I think I was.
Of course we don't. We don't have favorites.
I mean, I know that I was my mom's favorite. We were really a lot alike. And I think because I spent so much time with her, meaning I was living with her, my family for a while. Whereas my other siblings, even my younger brother had often married, you know, like they were all, you know, building their own families and stuff. So I had some individual time with my mom during this last
year. And that's something that you'll have forever.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah,
that's exactly. Amazing. So it may be a little more difficult, but can you look back and see, was there anything, and I hesitate to use the word beautiful, but is there anything that you can see from the rape and the date rape and how in the time after that, maybe in the breakdown, in the healing, or is there anything that you can look back and find during that? Because it is a very horrific time.
I mean, I'm certainly stronger because of it. And there's a lot that I've learned through it. And like two things I've really learned through that. Also understand just, I didn't tell anybody because this was the mid 80s and that was way before the Me Too movement, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was often they, you know, might even ask, was it your fault? You know, like thinking it was the girl's fault kind of thing. So that was why I never said anything. And there was a shame and guilt, you know, even on my part that I carried with me until I released that. And I went through some pretty deep therapy. There was a place called, it's called Theotherapy. So it's God therapy. They have individual and they had group sessions that I would go to. And then I also had my own private counselor to help me work through some of that. But what I learned was how to forgive, forgiving myself. Yes. Mm-hmm. And forgiving the person, the persons, you know, because often when we hold on to unforgiveness, it's actually more of a ball and chain to us and the other person doesn't even know. Right. And then if we don't, I mean, God has forgiven us. So why can't we forgive ourselves? So that was a process that I had to go through. And so now as I come across, you know, situations or traumas or things that require forgiveness, I think I'm a little quicker to come to that place. And I often, actually back then, and I still practice it now, is I have to say it before my heart believes it. So even though I'm resistant and I might not want to forgive that person, they say, you know, what you say often comes true. So like this whole, you know, your mind kind of dictates how you feel. So I had to keep saying, you know, I forgive them. I forgive myself, you know, like until I finally felt it in my heart and truly believed it. So it was a process to get there. But I feel like I said before, now I can get there a lot sooner. You know, like I'm not holding on. I understand that if you hold on, right, it's worse off for you as a person. And then, and I think I noticed for me, when I hold on to that kind of stuff, it turns into depression. So, you know, you gotta release that somehow.
No, I agree. I think it took me a while to learn that forgiveness didn't mean that I have to be buddy
Correct.
With the person who hurt me.
Right.
And that it is more for yourself, you know, because you hold it. I think, you know, my son was talking about, you know, somebody living rent-free in his head. And that's a phrase I've heard a lot. And,
right.
And I think that's the same thing, is you're giving this person power that Correct. They don't deserve to have.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And I think that's what was happening until I learned that lesson, that you just have to forgive and release and, you know, God take care of it.
Exactly. It's not our job, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's not our job. Yeah.
Something else we can release the stress of and the, you know.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Well, I think that's a very valuable set of lessons then that you got from that. So I appreciate, I know that was hard. I know it was hard to live through and to share, but I know we all appreciate the lessons that you learned with that. Mm-hmm. So let's turn it a little bit more to how you're thriving today. You have a podcast on solo travel. I think it's called Solo Travel Adventures, right?
It is. Yes. Yes, I do. I know it doesn't seem to relate to this, but I think in a way it does, because my whole purpose and my vision for, you know, devising this, you know, podcast, this group, I have a Facebook group, is to encourage and empower women to, you know, to build that confidence. Because I feel like a lot of women are held back by whatever. It could be fear. It could be just, you know, maybe they have a spouse or a friend that keeps telling them not to solo travel. You know, they, to give them that confidence that they can do it, I think even goes back to, you know, when you're dealing with traumas in any way, you know, you have to build up that confidence in yourself. So I find that travel helps me do that. It also helps. It can be used for healing, which I have used it for healing, to just go and do a solo trip where you can be completely alone, whether it's, you know, you're actually in a city or you're in nature and that kind of stuff. But it gives you that time to really reflect. And if you have a relationship with God, to spend that time, you know, alone with Him, to, you know, work through things. So for me, it's about giving people, women, confidence to do that.
Okay. Well, would you be willing to share maybe a little tip on how we can grow that confidence? Because it took me forever to go to the movies, to go to a movie by myself.
But that's how it starts. That's, I mean, Heather, you did the right thing. It's like one of the first steps I say is, you know, go to the movies alone, or go out to eat by yourself, and not just take out, go sit down, you know, and kind of, you know, get used to being alone, first of all, you know, because part of it is, I think a lot of us don't like to be alone. You know, we do like to share our time with people, which is fine. But sometimes, you know, you can't find that friend to go on that trip with, right? So you got to go by yourself, or you want to go by yourself, right? And then from there, I would branch out and maybe try a little, you know, weekend trip where you just drive, you know, whether it's maybe an hour or two away from where you live. So it's nothing, you know, too far, so that, you know, if you, something happens or you get scared, you come back, right?
Right, right. Yeah.
Not like you have a plane ticket you got to wait for. So, you know, just starting small is kind of how you start to build, you know, confidence is a muscle, you know, or courage is a muscle. So you have to, you know, practice that courage. And the other thing I've suggested, actually, I think it was in one of my recent episodes, is the other thing you could do to build this courage or confidence is to try something that scares you. Mm. Just do something that scares you. I would even try to do it once a week. Just, you know, maybe you're an introvert and something that scares you is talking to a stranger, right? You know, so maybe that's something you could try to get out of your box, right? And so as you just practice those little things, you start to, you know, feel more confident in who you are, and, you know, being able to step out of your box and being more self-reliant too is something I think happens when we solo travel too. We learn to problem solve on our own, right? And
right,
we have to
yeah.
rely on ourselves, right? We can't ask our friend or whoever is with us to, mm-hmm. you know, if you get lost, you're like, oh, okay, I got got to figure it out. So true. That would be my suggestion. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to take you up on that. I actually have an opportunity to travel about 45 minutes to an hour away, for a day trip and leave my son at home.
and that is a hard part. You know, if you are still a mother and you have kids, then it is, you know, there's some of that is a guilt factor. We feel bad for leaving our kids, right?
Yes.
But we need that time too for ourselves. So don't feel bad about going, especially if you've made those arrangements and you feel good about the arrangements, right?
Well, right now I've said maybe, but I'm committing. Okay. Now I'm on a recording.
Okay, good.
I'm committing to, as long as nothing medical intervenes, then I'm committing to going. And now I will be meeting up with other women
Okay.
But the fact that I'm driving solo.
There you go.
So I'm committing here. Everybody can see me on video and hear me on the podcast. So.
Well, good. I'm going to have to follow up with you and see how it went.
Absolutely. Okay. We'll hold each other to that.
Yeah, that sounds good. Sounds good.
Okay. Well, do you have any final warrior words, anything that you would like to leave our listeners with?
Yes. Some other lesson I learned during all this, all those traumas, is that you need a tribe. Okay. Mm-hmm. You need people around you. Warriors come from a tribe, but I love the analogy. Actually, I love nature. So my analogy is more nature oriented. Mm-hmm. So we have an eagle versus the geese. So we know, well, eagles are beautiful, but they fly by themselves, right?
Right.
But they don't fly as far as geese do. So if you understand how geese actually fly and get so far, is you think about that formation that they have, right? They have that point and there's one person at the head, but then all the others are behind. However, the person at the head, if they get tired, they go to the back and then the next person takes, you know, charge. So they're supporting one another is what I'm getting at. So it's a community. And I think, you know, with any of my healing I've had to do, it was so important to have a community around me, you know, whether it was family, friends, I had people in my church that were supportive. So, you know, you got to have that come around you anytime you're facing any kind of trauma. You can't be facing it alone on an island somewhere, right? So right. We need to have that support from our community. And so find your tribe is what I would say.
That's awesome. And I love the bird analogy. Yes. My son calls me, I've mentioned him three times now, but my son calls me the crazy bird lady.
Oh, okay. So you love birds. You can understand that analogy.
Exactly. Yeah. But I didn't know that about the geese though. Yes, I mean, I have my window bird feeders and I have some bird cams that I watched. Eagle ones.
Yeah. So yeah, they work as a, you know, as a team basically. Yeah.
No, that's wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. I love it. Okay. So if anybody would like to listen to the Solo Travel Adventures podcast or find you online, where can they go to find you?
Yeah. So it is Solo Travel Adventures. You can just Google it in the podcast, Apple Podcast. I'm actually in all the channels there. So, you know, Spotify, whatever you use. And then I just have a community Facebook group for solo travel women 50 and up. It's actually called, I have to think about this, Solo Travel for Women Over 50, I think is what the name is. You can Google it again in Facebook if you're on Facebook, and you could join the group. It's a private group, so you just have to answer the questions to get in. That's all. Just trying to protect the ladies there. So we don't want any men in that group. So.
Sorry. And I'll make sure I put those in the show notes to make it easier for people too.
Perfect. And I'm working on a new website. I have one that's under my name, but it's more health related, not the travel related. So we're working on that, but you can find me either place.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. Yeah. I appreciate you being willing to share those hard stories and also to share your lessons learned.
Yes, absolutely. So, yes. If it helps somebody else, I'm happy to do it.
Yes. That's one of the I guess the reasons that I kind of agreed to do this, because you mentioned trying something that you're scared of. Well, mm-hmm. I'm scared of microphones. You know, and I said in one of my other episodes that the Holy Spirit told me I was going to be a podcaster and a public speaker. And I said, no. Well, and yet here I am.
Here you are. Yes.
So yes.
Well, very good. I'm excited for you.
All right. Well, thank you so much again. And we will hold each other to that accountability and follow up with each other. And
sounds good.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Cheryl. We appreciate your time.
No problem. Bye-bye.
I really enjoyed my conversation with Cheryl. She and I have many things in common, and I felt like I was talking to a long-lost sister. I really appreciate that she shared about bottling up what happened to her in college. So many women have been taught, mostly indirectly, that it's next to impossible to get justice for rape and date rape. We are warned that everything about us will be under the microscope. Did we dress a certain way? Did we drink a little too much? What was our past history like? Did our words mislead someone? all of these and more. Well, I agree that some women have taken advantage of the system, and that kind of taints the response that we get when we try to report these things. The true victims of these crimes are the ones that are left suffering in silence. As many, they fear that they just won't get heard and that no one will fight for them. And we all know what happens when certain beverages have been bottled up, shaken just a little, and then given an opening. What are you bottling up? What are you keeping inside? Find that trusted person. Confide in them before the cork on the bottle releases its stuffed contents. And then go on an adventure. That's it for this episode. See you next week. Until we meet again, armor up, fight the good fight, seek beauty, and make your words warrior words. God bless.